In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Back we go into the fringe. We're going to talk about the concept of fake planes. The idea of fake planes, such as a hologram or post-production TV manipulation, emerged in the mainstream public consciousness after the attacks on September 11, 2001. A year or so later, there was an increase in those observing chemtrails, or jet aircraft leaving persistent jet contrails that spread out into man-made clouds. A topic that this show, in other news, covered in depth for many years. Well, that artificial cloud cover, as many listeners know, occludes the sun, modifies weather, and consequently reduces the process of photosynthesis, among other problems, down here at the surface. Well, as more people pointed their cameras to the sky, strange anomalies were caught on film, such as the aircraft morphing into odd shapes and unexplained reflections. Are these anomalies simply artifacts of distance and an atmosphere filled with particulates? When you stop and think about it, the fake plane topic can be the linchpin to the broader discussions of UFO disclosure, free energy, the 9/11 planes, and chemtrails. It's an area that few people speak about publicly. Past guest Allison Cruz discussed her experiences filming aircraft at night that reconfigured their light arrangements to mimic jets. Well, we talk today with Jennifer O'Brien, a mother of four children living in Toronto, Canada, who has witnessed and filmed the so-called fake planes during the day, twilight, and at night. She is one of several people who agreed to be interviewed. In this discussion, you'll hear beeps and tones. I'm leaving some of them in to give you an idea of this type of interference. Jen, welcome to Another News.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're located in Toronto, and a handful of people in North America are posting their videos of strange craft that appear as jet airplanes, maybe commercial jets. And a lot of these are caught at night, but you and several others have been catching them during the day. Can you tell listeners how you began noticing these aircraft and then deciding to record them?
Okay, so back in October of 2014, so just this past October, I woke up one morning with a really bizarre pattern of bruises all down my left side. It was the weirdest thing. They were dime-sized and perfectly round, exactly 3 inches apart down my left leg, and a singular one on my forearm. You know, at first I kind of just ignored it. I thought, this is bizarre. You know, I'd gone to bed and I didn't have any bruises, and I wake up with all these funny bruises. And then when I looked a little closer, I noticed it was a pattern. So I just, you know, I didn't know what to make of it. And then all of a sudden, something just kind of hit me where I thought, could it even be possible that maybe I was taken? And I know it sounds crazy because I never had those feelings or thoughts before in my life, but it just, I couldn't shake this feeling about these bruises. So what I did is I jumped online and I ended up on a website. I think it was called In Two Worlds or Between Two Worlds. And I started doing a lot of research and waking up with bruises and then patterns. And then it got into the, you know, the UFO realm. You know, I was reading some of the symptoms, and, you know, I discovered that I had a lot of them, including a funny ear tone that I would hear a lot, and dreaming of, you know, I'm a vivid dreamer, and I constantly, constantly dream of flying through the air. It sounds weird, but it's since I can remember, going back to a childhood, you know, when I'm dreaming, I'm flying, and I'm, like, swimming through the air is the only way I can describe it.
Wow.
So that was really sort of eye-opening to me. I thought, okay, you know, perhaps something is going on. And then I started reading about the hybrid program, and it just felt so familiar to me. I'm a mother of four children. I have, my youngest is 2 years old, and I was nursing him up until he was a year old. He's now two. And another thing that's really bizarre is I'm still producing breast milk, you know, and my doctor can't explain it. It's really bizarre. Babies, once they're weaned, within 7 days, a woman's body stops producing. So just all of these things, this physical stuff, the dreaming, the symptoms, you know, feeling sort of disconnected, constantly looking up, had me, you know, kind of shaken up, so to speak. And I really thought I was onto something. And, you know, the next day, I went into my car, I was taking my son to football practice, and I noticed a low-flying, super loud, small black helicopter. I know it sounds, you know, insane, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. But what was really bizarre is for 2 weeks straight, this thing was everywhere I went. I could go, didn't matter where it was going. I seen it everywhere. So did my children. So did, you know, other parents on the football team, neighbors. And it was just crazy. I would even call my dad on my cell phone and say, can you hear that? you know, and at first he was reassuring, oh, it's probably just a news helicopter.
Jen, this sounds, typically paranoid.
Yeah, but he was actually, my father was really kind of understanding. He said, because I told him about the bruises, and he came over and had a look at them. Now, one thing I can tell you about my father is he sort of was always open-minded. He's an ultralight pilot. He's always pointed out things in the sky. And just as a young child, I always just felt like, you know, maybe I would see something someday, right? I always believed, so to speak. But anyway, so he just said, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about it. But as time went on and it kept happening day after day after day, you know, even he thought it was very bizarre, and along with anybody else that was with me during this time. And another bizarre thing is I would try to take a picture of it just because, you know, at this point I felt like I was kind of paranoid. So I would pull over to try to document it, and, you know, it would take off. Like, it would just veer off, would not allow me to take a picture. The only time I actually was able to get one picture in 2 weeks, and I'm talking nonstop visibility of this thing, was when I was at a red light, and I took my cell phone, I snapped one quick. And that was, you know, the only shot I could get of it. And, you know, I'm just thankful I had witnesses, because otherwise, you know, you would think you're losing your mind. So this was happening. This helicopter activity kind of died down after a few weeks, and December 24th, which was Christmas Eve, I was at a red light, and I was actually right in my neighborhood, and I look up, and I see this black triangle hovering, and it just was crazy. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I'm at the red light. I'm looking around, like, does anybody else see this? Mm-hmm. Nobody seemed to really notice it. Kind of shook me up. I pulled over. Again, I wanted to take a photo. By the time I made a left-hand turn to turn around, get out of the car, it was gone.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Gone like it had never been there. And I came home, and my teenagers, and I told them what happened. They started laughing. They're like, whatever. So I said, no, I'm serious. I seen this giant black triangle with lights on each tip, and the lights were so bright, I couldn't describe them. You know, they look like just pulsating, the brightest lights you've ever seen in your life. And it was silent, too, because I rolled down my window and I stuck my head right out. And so then I went on the internet again, and I started looking up black triangle. Now, to be honest, I've never known anything about, you know, I was interested in the topic of extraterrestrials, but I don't, you know, really know about certain crafts, and I've never heard of a black triangle before. So when I Googled, you know, black triangle UFO, all these pictures came up, and I said, oh, my God, that's exactly what I've seen. So I pointed it out to my kids, and I said, you know, other people have seen this thing, too. And what I did is I reported it to a website, because I just couldn't shake it. I reported it to a website that takes information in local sightings in this area, or, you know, the Ontario area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the person got in contact with me, the researcher, and had confirmed that sightings like this have been known since the 70s around Lake Ontario and around this area.
Oh, they, that's interesting.
You know, yeah, it's not anything new at all. And she had said to me, you know, kind of put out a telepathic thought into the world, you know, that you would like to see it again. And I thought, okay, this is getting, you know, this is too bizarre, but I'll try. I'm really open-minded, so I thought, okay, why not? And literally a week later to the day, I saw it again. And I was with my 7-year-old daughter, same thing, I was driving, and it zoomed. I wouldn't say zoomed, more like floated past our peripheral vision. I turned around, I got a good look at it, so did my daughter, and I didn't have a chance to take a picture of it. And then I got home, and, you know, I made sure I reported that sighting as well, and she told me to ask my daughter to draw a picture, which I did. you know, she was pretty detailed for a seven-year-old. I guess we're getting into, like, close to January, end of December. And then after that, I started seeing these orange orbs everywhere, bright orange balls of light. It's really bizarre. So I didn't realize at that point they were turning, you know, mimicking aircraft. All I saw was these orange balls. And then when I seen them, I recognized them because I had actually seen two before. And I remember the exact date because it was kind of significant to me and I thought it was very weird. Was July 1st, 2012. And that's Canada Day here. And, mm-hmm. you know, they do a big celebration at night and there was fireworks and mm-hmm. stuff. And I saw these two orange balls floating around. And where the park is that does the Canada Day celebrations is right beside one of our nuclear power stations.
Now, Jen, regarding the orbs, how far apart were they? Were they traveling together? Did they look like an aircraft? What did it look like?
Okay, so it was one just sort of appeared out of nowhere. It was probably about the size of a beach ball from standing on the ground. I would say maybe 100 feet in the air. And then directly behind it at the same altitude and sort of, I would say maybe 40 feet apart from it, came another one. They just kind of silently flew over our head. They were just an orange ball. We didn't see or hear any sound or any navigation lights. So I just, you know, I kind of just put it in the back of my mind. I just thought, well, maybe that's a UFO. So, but I never thought anything of it since. And until just, you know, after the Black Triangle sightings, I started seeing these orbs again. And then I remember seeing that at the nuclear power station. So, yeah, I would just, you know, be out and they would just appear out of nowhere. And they would be really low, treetop level. And so I contacted the researcher and I had asked her, you know, now I'm seeing orange orbs everywhere. They're, you know, they look like, I couldn't even describe it. I'm not familiar with UFO terminology, but she said, you know, plasma balls. Mm. And I said, well, I guess, you know, they're the most brilliant amber orange you can ever imagine, and they twinkle. And I do have a really good pair of military-grade binoculars to watch football when my son plays. So she said, get out the binoculars and have a look, and that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And so I did go down to the lake shore, and they would just come one after another. And then I thought, okay, I have to film this. So I went down there and with my son, actually. And it was, you know, 12:30 at night. They were just coming, like, in droves. And one went right over our head, and that's when we saw it transform from an orb to, like, a triangle shape, then to an actual airplane. And so, you know, my son says, oh, it's an airplane. I go, there's no way these are normal airplanes. Like, they're silent. You don't even hear them. And then once they're right on top of you, if it makes any sound, you'll hear maybe a vacuum noise is the way I can describe it, or, you know, like a quiet lawnmower, but definitely not, you know, at such low altitude, a jet engine. I can't describe it. It's just not normal.
I do understand that there are jets that the military manufactures that are quiet. They do make noise, but they're muted. And they were put on certain jets at military bases in areas where there's a dense population and it doesn't rattle the communities. So there's that, but you're talking silent, right?
Oh, yeah, many times just silent. I mean, when they're in such close proximity, you don't hear a thing. And oftentimes you won't hear anything, but sometimes, like I said, they will try to mimic conventional aircraft noises, but it just doesn't sound right. And I'm not an aviation professional by any means. I'm only just documenting the experience. You know, if they are military craft, I mean, they have some pretty advanced technology, but these things seem telepathically connected, and I can get into that a little later if you like.
Sure. Let's review some of the material that you've given us here. It started off with the bruises and the marks on your legs, and then you started to look at Carissa Conti's website, intoworlds.net, and listeners may have recognized that if they're a regular listener to the show, and she's been on a number of times discussing topics such as interference. This has connected some people together, and her work is it's another validation of how important her work is. Then that helicopter was following you around, and that is really interesting. And then the black triangle. Then after you reported it, you had an experience of the telepathic connection. I think a lot of listeners who've had similar experiences in their lives, you've had a crash course here into the paranormal world, specifically with these UFOs and whatever occupants are in them. On the show, we've talked about the various types of mimicry, such as balloons and birds. And now the drone world is muddying up the waters in this particular area even more. But those who've had authentic experiences before the drones, you know what you're seeing. If after a while you begin to recognize it, not only visually, but as you pointed out, you can sense them as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Some of the specific oddities of these fake planes include jets where the wings are not the same size, or the jet appears to be hanging. What specific indicators have you seen that rule out your filming regular commercial or military jet air traffic?
Well, all I can tell you is I just sense that they're not one of ours, or it's just a weird feeling. I'll look up and I'll just know, I can't describe it. I just know it's one of the fakers. And then I get my camera on it, and sure enough, there's bizarre things like no windows, no markings, you know, weird, you know, I don't know if you had a chance to check my my second last video I just uploaded, but I had actually put out because I knew we would be speaking, and I kind of put the thought out there. Well, I did put the thought out there, please show yourself to me in the daytime, because actually the day before I was down at the lake and I saw, you know, this drone type jet. It looked like the only way I can describe it is they look kind of like drones. If you know what drones look like, because I never did, and it flew over me. And then in my mind, I got this kind of feeling or message or whatever you want to call it, that it can change its colors. And so when I looked up, I was down by the beach. I was feeding the ducks with my little one, and this thing came, and just by the noise too, the whirring noise, when it's, you know, right on top of me, it was like a pearl white. I mean, not only does it look really funny, but it's like a pearl white. And then, as it was going, it changed to, you know, the only way I could describe it is like a luminescent sort of, greenish blue, a really pale, shiny, you know, bluish green color. And then, you know, within another 5 seconds, it was like a silvery gray. So in my mind, I just got this feeling, wow, they can even change their paint colors in the daytime. And then it came back around again as if to show me, and it did the same thing. And I felt like it was confirming what I was thinking. So that was the day before. So the other day I was at the park and said, you know, in my mind, can you please show me again? And literally not even a minute or two, you know, that it just came right over my head, and I zoomed in with my camera. And I did post that on YouTube, and it looks bizarre. It, you know, the wings are pretty much transparent. The middle part of the plane is, you can see the blue sky between the middle. Just doesn't look real. They look like ghosts to me, is the only way I can describe it. And so that happened. So I did upload it, and I did actually, because there's another gentleman, Rod Hilderman, who is filming the same sort of phenomena for years now in Alberta, and I did send him the link to that video, and he hit me back with the exact same plane.
You mentioned Rod. Now, I reached out to him, and hopefully I'll get an interview with him at some point, but he wrote back to me and mentioned some interesting things.
Really?
Yeah, he said, hi, Jeff, I don't talk to many people on the internet. I only trust a couple of people and have been attacked many times. But back in 2008, when I really noticed these fake planes, I had a sighting of a fake plane, and it came directly towards me. And it's very similar to what you're describing. The fake plane was so obvious, it was almost bent in half. And the next month, in February, I went to the same area, and then it happened again. Same type of sighting. I still have the footage. Now, I'm sure only a few of us have ever seen them go from a ball of light shapeshift into a fake plane. That's interesting, because there's a gentleman in Italy who's been filming the spray planes, the chemtrailing and all of that. And
right.
So you point a camera up to the sky long enough, you're going to get some really weird stuff. And so he caught what seemed to be a jet airplane going into a cloud, and on the other side of the cloud, two glowing white spheres arc out, and the plane doesn't come out.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
Doesn't surprise me.
But it's consistent with what Rod just said. Now I'm sure, he says, now I'm sure only a few of us have ever seen them go from a ball of light shapeshift into a fake plane. So, I mean, that's the reverse is what Tanker Enemy had caught. So possible modular ability here to just assemble and disassemble. This is all speculation. Now he continues. He says, I had a few witnesses to this, one being a friend of mine who whose dad was a top engineer for NASA and during the Apollo landings. He worked for Boeing, and he was harassed by NASA because they wanted him to join the good old boys club of NASA. Anyway, his dad refused. This guy's wife talked to him later and witnessed the ball of light shapeshift into a plane and said, and asked Rod if they followed him. He says, the first chemtrails I've seen personally were back around 1970, and I even asked my dad what these trails in the sky were. Back then, it was blue skies. The funny thing, these fake planes could have been present then, because even as a child, on a summer day, I would look up and a white plane would sometimes appear. So he goes on to describe a few other sightings and then connects it with the paranormal. Now, can you talk about the related paranormal experiences when filming these aircraft, or since you've been noticing them?
As far as paranormal goes, the only thing I can say is just, you know, weird thoughts that pop into my head while I'm filming them. I can tell you, I'll be inside my home, just being a mom, cooking dinner, and then I just get the feeling, come outside, look outside, and sure enough, they're there. And another thing I can tell you is that day that I was down at the lake doing with my son and I caught the first morph, I guess you could say, this, you know, thought popped into my head loud and clear, and it said, look what we can do. I don't know how to describe it. I just know when they're there, I just get a feeling or a thought that says, look outside, come outside. And I'll tell you, every time I second-guess myself or think, okay, am I just a freaking lunatic and, you know, a huge fleet of aircraft circle around me 24-7 because I don't know why. Maybe there's a fleet that we don't know about. Something will happen to prove their existence. They'll come out in droves. They'll do crazy things. Some of the maneuvers I've caught on film are just impossible for regular aircraft to do. They do follow me as well everywhere I go. I have footage of that. I can be an hour out of the city. I get two or three escorts, orange balls, flying parallel to my car. So as far as paranormal experiences, it's just the thoughts and the feelings, you know, the telepathic connection. You know, that's all I can really say at this point. Nothing, you know, sort of creepy or bizarre has happened. I do feel I go into somewhat of a trance. When I'm out filming them, time just flies. I don't lose time per se, but because I do have all the footage. But you know, 3 or 4 hours can go by, and I'm out there at minus 20. I don't even really feel it. You know, yeah, it's just I feel compelled to do it. I can't control it. I couldn't stop if I tried. I feel like I have to do it. I have to film them. I don't know why, and I just feel like I need to tell people about this. You know, and I don't know, I don't have any answers at all. There's a lot of theories floating around there. I don't feel anything negative about it, but, you know, there are some people that believe it's a negative thing, it's an invasion, but I just feel like they're kind of playful. I mean, they interact with my children, my teenage children, their friends. Mm-hmm. I showed a gentleman, a friend of mine who, you know, is very open-minded, and he said, do you think I'll see one if we get together? I said, you know, it's possible. I know my kids see them and their friends see them when they're with me. And now they're seeing them without me. And so sure enough, we went for a little drive, and this is nowhere near an airport. And two showed up. He had to look through the binoculars, and he says, that was just a few days ago. He hasn't been able to sleep for 3 days.
There's that other person out there in Toronto, and I'm sure there are others, but one that we both know is Douglas Carter.
Yes.
How far away is he in Toronto from you?
He's only about 10 minutes north of me, and we're definitely filming the same aircraft because he is in the north end of the city near the 401, and that's pretty much where their little route is. They seem to come from the area of the lake, go straight up towards the highway, and then back around. They just circle. And I've kind of noticed the pattern of behavior. The smaller type morphers, which I call the workers in my videos, they seem to almost be on autopilot. They just, you know, they're on a track. They just go. They're all perfectly paced apart. They're all doing the same altitude, same speed, which I did pace one, by the way, for 20 minutes straight, and it was 50 kilometers an hour. I don't know. I don't know how they can go so slow. You know, and I'm not saying I'm a professional at pacing, you know, the speed of aircraft, but, I mean, it did stick with me at that speed for 20 minutes. So he is filming them off his balcony looking south, and, you know, he's filming what I refer to as the shadow planes. These are larger aircraft. They look like just regular commercial aircraft, but they really don't. I mean, to me, they look like, again, ghosts, but they're dark. They're like a gray color, and they appear every night on any given clear night. Right at dusk, and they just circle and circle and circle until it gets dark, and then I guess they mingle in with the other ones. So that's what he's getting, and you know, I'm sure he's getting some of the ones that are on autopilot as well.
It's just amazing to me how very few people have become aware of this activity in the sky, and it also speaks to how, I guess, busy people are. To not look at this and say, wait, this is unusual, and check it against a FlightAware application and say, well, this isn't showing up on the FlightAware app. What could this be? Now, you've had some attacks also on YouTube. Can you talk about that?
Oh, sure. So I'm, like I said, very new to this whole thing. Only started posting in January, and I've only posted a handful of the actual footage that I have. It's very time-consuming. And I've had a few, you know, quote-unquote aviation, well, I don't know if they are for sure, but, you know, self-proclaimed aviation experts that are telling me, oh, those are just planes. Why are you wasting people's time? Okay, yes, they do definitely appear to look like planes, but it's the behavior that I'm noticing, right? And, of course, you mentioned FlightAware. Not a single one in all the hundreds of hours of footage that I have and months of filming these guys pretty much on every clear night have they ever shown up. Not a single one. And I'm talking 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, they're out. And I live in a, you know, an area, a residential area, where I'm sure there's bylaws where you can't fly low in these areas. You know, I think after midnight, air traffic is restricted.
That's
not
right.
Restricted, but reduced.
Yes, yes, you're right about that. And then it returns around 4 or 5 a.m.
Right. Well, these guys are out. So that's why I feel there is somewhat of a connection to the person, because it can be any hour of the day. And, you know, even if it's 3 in the morning, 3 or 4 will cruise on by. And, you know, we had 3 show up, you know, my little son, we had a birthday dinner, and I was telling my mother about it, and she's like, oh, stop with your nonsense. And sure enough, 2 hovered right outside the window and flared up like a mini sun, glaring their lights, and it actually, I have a 22-year-old brother, he actually was scared, you know, we're used to it, so my kids are laughing. My mom was speechless, and that never happens.
Well, you know, that actually is a pretty good experience for you, because that doesn't happen very often. In fact, I hear the opposite happening, where the person experiencing and witnessing the UFOs brings friends and family out to where they see, and nothing happens. And so,
right. Yeah. So, I mean, I still plan to keep, you know, exposing people and, you know, spreading the word. One thing I can tell you is I do have a friend who's very Christian. And she's actually a Catholic school teacher, and she does not believe in extraterrestrials. She believes in Jesus. And, you know, we were out on her porch having a chat, and, you know, because they're around all the time, I just mentioned I didn't want to frighten her, but I said, do you see that up there? And she didn't even see the big ball of light. So I think when, you know, certain minds can't really truly comprehend or rationalize, they will not see it. You know, if you're not familiar or you just don't believe, you won't have the experience. But I really feel if you're even somewhat open to it, then, you know, you will see something. You know, I was surprised they actually came that night to dinner but again, my mom's not a non-believer. She just, you know, she just thought it was funny when I mentioned this. I mean, of course, it's going to sound laughable when your daughter tells you, oh, Mom, I'm being followed around by these UFOs everywhere I go. Like, who wouldn't laugh, right? So
look, if your clothes were dirty and you had a beard and stumbled around and maybe you drank beer, forget about it. They'd put you away.
For sure. And that's why I'm documenting all of this, because, of course, I'm a mother. But I know I'm not. I have a firm grip on reality. I mean, you know, I don't hear voices. Even these thoughts that pop into my head, they come out as my own thoughts. But I know they're connected. I just can't describe. It's just a knowing. This is happening. I'm seeing it constantly. Other people are seeing it, experiencing it. And I just don't understand how people that are, you know, when they come in droves, and I mean, I had 50 of them, close to 50 in less than 2 hours, and I filmed the whole thing, go by, cruise on by, not a single one hitting on the radar app, which the radar app is guaranteed to be in real time, but I would refer to it several times throughout filming just to, you know, eliminate any possibility of it being delayed or anything. I mean, you could always say, sure, maybe certain aircrafts, you know, aren't picked up by the radar apps, but come on, 50 in a row?
We're speaking with Jennifer O'Brien about her experiences with aircraft mimicking planes. We're going to a short break and we'll be right back. Jennifer O'Brien is our guest, and we're discussing the topic of fake planes. We've had on Allison Cruz as a guest on the show discussing her sightings in rural Pennsylvania, and she had great night footage of these UFOs mimicking jet planes, and she noted that there were abandoned coal mines in the area of the constant sightings. She noted that there were abandoned coal mines in the area of the constant sightings. What do you see in terms of a relationship in these specific sightings of fake planes and their location?
Okay, so, well, Allison Cruz is actually, thank God for her, because when I started seeing all this and then I did some research and I seen her videos, I thought, oh, thank God there's somebody out there that is experiencing this and documenting. So she's sort of the pioneer, I guess, of this phenomenon, you could say, with the nighttime, you know, the balls of light, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So she discovered the coal mines. What I discovered is her and I, or if you could draw a line, I'm directly north of her in Toronto, and she's in Pennsylvania. There are exactly 11 nuclear power stations between myself and her. And she just emailed me this morning. As a matter of fact, we're friends on Facebook. She's very supportive as far as, you know, the experience and guiding me on the best equipment to use and, you know, how to sort of differentiate between regular aircraft and these guys. Her theory is that they have to suck power in order to morph into the fake aircraft. And, you know, she could be onto something. She just sent me a report from MUFON where a couple saw the same thing near the nuclear power station, and they were going along the power lines. And that is what I did notice about these guys. They literally are at the height, rooftop, power line, treetop level. And maybe that's why they're so quiet, so they kind of blend in and, you know, there's not a big, you know, commotion about them. But she could be right in that. I don't know. You know, I don't have a scientific background. I can only tell you what I see.
Mm-hmm. We know about electric cars, and they don't make any sound.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, Allison has been on the show, and we've had her come into New York City and do a presentation in 2012 at Theater 80 in the East Village, and it was a great turnout, wonderful people, and it was quite an event. Many listeners know about geoengineering from the conventional angle, and for some, the pieces don't fit together. There's more secrecy about geoengineering, in my opinion, than the UFO topic itself.
Oh, yeah.
The lie that's broadcast out to mainstream is that geoengineering is something to consider in the future, and it's not happening now. What connection do you see with the fake plane anomaly and climate engineering?
Really, to be honest, I don't know what the connection is. I do see a lot of these chemtrail planes there are some theories that, you know, I've read online that some people who claim to be in contact with the ETs, they are stating that what they're doing is they're trying to neutralize what the military and the governments are spraying by using these holographic planes. You know, I don't know what the connection is. I know our skies are filled with the chemtrails constantly. They're out pretty much daily, which is sad because, you know, on a nice sunny day, you know, by 3-4 o'clock, we're just covered in cloud. You know, I've seen some of these trails stick around for more than 24 hours. So, yeah, and I've started sort of documenting that as well, taking pictures and, you know, because this is something new to me and I don't know what the connection is, but I do feel it is all tied in.
If the fake planes are spraying, that really opens up a Pandora's box. I've filmed non-plane aircraft spraying amid what looked to be as planes spraying. So the question,
sure.
The questions that follow are numerous. What are they spraying? Is it harmful or reversing the damage being done? It's all speculation. We certainly don't know. A woman in Canada wrote a book called UFO Defense Tactics, Weather Shield to Chemtrails. Her name's A.K. Johnston, and unfortunately, she passed away. I was trying to get her on as a guest.
Oh, no.
And
how old was she?
I don't know. The publisher wouldn't reveal the information. The personal information. So she suggests that military and government agencies have the ability to manipulate weather electromagnetically and with chemtrails to deter unconventional craft. This hypothesis also explains erratic changes in the weather in the last few years. Is the government creating a weather shield to deter UFOs from entering the Earth's atmosphere? Well, that's an interesting question, but it seems like they're already down here, and they've learned to mimic conventional aircraft. So if you can see them, don't you think that the military can as well?
This is what is so bizarre about the whole thing. I don't know. I've been, you know, the times when they've come out, and like I said, it's usually when I'm doubting the whole phenomena, and then it just is like triple the amount of activity. I half expected to see some sort of fighter jet show up or something. Maybe they're not able to be picked up. You know, maybe they have the technology to cloak themselves and not appear on radar and not, you know, because it's bizarre that they don't appear in snow and rain ever in the 3 months I've been looking for them in any weather condition. Of course, human planes are out regardless of weather. So it just makes me wonder, I mean, you know, perhaps in this morph that they do that, you know, they can only be visible on certain weather conditions. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, I'd like to know what the military would have to say about all this footage that I have. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably say they're just airplanes.
I think you're right about that. It's hard to know. What's curious to me is the connection to the weather manipulation, the spraying of the skies, and
Sure. These
particular aircraft that mimic planes. And people have caught these fake planes, whatever you want to call them, spraying as well. So that leads to a very odd thing. And then Rod, who's been filming the guy out, the other person in Canada, mentioned that he has caught UFOs charging at the planes that are spraying. So he suspects there's some kind of good and bad scenario going on, some type of war. Very few people talk about this particular area, but I think it's important. Tanker Enemy has also caught the orbs or whatever these objects, these smaller UFOs that seem to charge at the planes that are spraying. Are these real planes that are spraying or are they the fake planes that are spraying? It's very difficult to really know. But you're at a point, Jen, where you can sense that and maybe your intuition will tell you.
Yeah, I just feel like they're not, the ones that I'm filming, I don't feel a negative vibe at all. I feel very safe. I've been out literally, you know, down by the lake in the bush by myself. There's coyotes running around, you know. I don't know. I'm a very intuitive person. I can sense bad vibes right away, and I don't get that at all from these guys, you know. And then people point to, well, they're deceiving you, but I have to trust my spirit, my intuition. I think, you know, the theory of them sort of neutralizing could be a possibility. They do definitely leave something in the sky. I filmed on my channel. You'll see, you know, definite trails left. Even at night, you can see them. You know, what's in those trails is, I guess, remains to be seen.
Getting back to the marks on your legs, do you think that's related to what you're seeing with the fake planes?
To be honest, I don't know. This is what sparked the whole thing. You know, abduction is a whole other conversation. What I can tell you is, you know, the physical aspects of, you know, that I'm experiencing are not normal. And like I said, going through that list from Into Worlds and some other research I did, you know, definitely related to at least 20 out of the 30 symptoms. My 14-year-old daughter, by the way, who is not into UFOs at all, she gets really annoyed even when I talk about it. But she seems to see the most activity that is, you know, I guess more traditional, you could say. Just this Saturday, she came home and told me, because she was over at the park there, and she was walking home, and she's like, oh, I just seen a giant pill floating in the sky. I said, what? She goes, it was a giant white pill, Mom. And she goes, and a car went by, and I looked at the car, and when she looked back up, it was gone. So I thought, oh, that sounds like a cigar craft. You know, she sees things regularly. She called me not too long ago with, you know, she said she was sitting there watching TV and something told her to go out and look in the back window. And she did. And she's seen a black triangle hovering above my my tree line in my backyard. I said, what did it look like? And she said it was a perfect black triangle with lights on each corner and a red ball, a red glowing ball. She described it on the belly. I thought, okay. And she, like I said, she's not, you know, when I try to talk to her about this stuff, she's just kind of not into it. But she will tell me when she sees weird things. And so for me, that was just confirmation that, you know, something is happening. There is some visitation happening. She also suffers from nosebleeds, like you wouldn't believe, no medical explanation for it. So there's just like weird things. I don't know. I mean, I would love to know if, it, you know, if this is happening. I would love to get answers for sure.
Yeah, from here, a lot of people do the hypnotic regression to see if something happened and they can maybe locate a specific date, but you have to be really brave, and you know that opens up a lot of different things that some people don't want to experience. And
sure, I can see that. I mean, when I read about abductions and these horrifying things that may happen or may not happen, you have to sort of look at it from the perspective of, if there's such horrible things happening, and you know they're, you know, evil entities or what have you, why do they return you, and why do they erase these horrible memories? You know, if that's the case, I mean, there has to be some sense of, you know, conscious there in that aspect, because, you know, if they're so evil, they would just, you know, be done with you. But who knows, right? I mean, this is just my feeling.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to the fake planes, the concept is really amazing to me. The fake plane or the hologram, whatever it is, it's certainly a mimicry and a grand conspiracy that, to me, it would seem impossible to keep quiet. But somehow the public's perception is altered in a way that this is able to occur. What does that tell you about society?
It's scary to me because I feel like people are just in a slumber. You know, if they are exposed to it, maybe they don't want to know. You know, like, for example, my brother, I kept trying to point it out, and he just kept looking down, terrified. He says, I don't want to know. I said, you don't have to be scared. It's better to know. Knowledge is power. So I think that's kind of typical for the average person. They're, you know, busy with their, you know, their smart devices in life. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't know, maybe I'm just an oddball, but I've always felt sort of, I don't know, like I'm like, this is the dream and, you know, reality's on the other side kind of thing, right? And it's just, I don't know how to describe it.
Somebody described it as the movies are true and the news is fake.
Right. It just feels like a matrix, right? And I've always had these, and I, you know, that goes back to the symptoms of abduction where you just don't feel connected the way that, I guess, regular or normal society is. I've always felt like an outsider. I've always kind of felt, you know, and this airplane activity is brand new. I mean, I've been looking up since I was a child, you know, always feeling connected to the stars and always looking out, you know, and wanting answers and, you know, having a bad day just, you know, that makes me happy to just look at the stars. So it's bizarre altogether, for sure.
Well, Jen, what do you have to say to others who are seeing similar things?
Trust your intuition. You know, if something feels strange or off or just not right according to your internal guidance system, get out a camera and start filming, because if it wasn't for other people documenting these experiences, I wouldn't have been encouraged to tell the world what I'm dealing with and what I'm going through and my family is going through. So I think it's important to don't worry about being laughed at or what people are going to say, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's really for you to document what you're going through. And hopefully, you know, if somebody else is out there and they're experiencing the same thing, if you're willing to put your information out there, you could be helping somebody, right? I just do this for myself to, you know, definitely confirm that what I'm seeing is actually happening. And also, you know, hopefully I can help somebody else out there that's scared to, you know, talk about their experience.
Where do you go from here now?
I just keep going outside with my camera. I mean, I will be documenting this until it stops. And from my understanding is it only can last maybe a few years, if that. So, you know, this seems to be the pattern. You know, Allison, I guess she had a couple years of activity and it somewhat died down. So I guess that's all you can do is just try to, you know, get it on film while you can. And hopefully one day, I mean, this is happening all over the world. Just from my research, it's in Alberta, it's in Toronto here, it's in Pennsylvania, California, Germany, Spain, the Netherlands. And then you mentioned another place as well, Italy. Sure, it has to be happening elsewhere as well. It's just people are not documenting.
Yes, it's happening in Maryland. It certainly happens here in New York City.
Oh, yes, and New York State as well. There's a gentleman I spoke to there. He feels it's a government mind control operation, so that's a whole other conversation. If you look at my last posting that I did in the nighttime, this is how I know they're telepathically connected. I don't think I mentioned this in the interview, but I verbally asked, because they do these funny patterns, which I'm sure you're aware of, with their lights, right? Things that just aren't conventional at all. They make an X or a perfect T or a cross, and like they light up like a Christmas tree. So one was coming by my window, and I said to it out loud, I said, I'd really like to see the T, Mr. T. I call it Mr. T, right? I haven't seen that shape in about 3 weeks or so, and I said, you know, just to confirm that you can hear me, can you please show me the letter T, Mr. T? And sure enough, the next craft to come by, what does it do? Morphs into the most beautiful, perfect T you've ever seen, and then it's just going through the trees. Like, you cannot tell me that is an airplane, you know? I showed it to my dad. I was actually just by his house before I got on the phone with you, and I showed him on my camera, and he got tears in his eyes. He goes, you don't understand what you have here, honey. I said, well, I don't, it's all very bizarre. But, you know, the naysayers out there will say, oh, that's just a plane. Like, what plane makes a letter T and turns sideways and, you know, hovers? Yeah. Like, it's just craziness.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking, it's making me think how important people like Allison is and other people in the support groups.
Thank God, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, because it's difficult with friends and family. If you were of a different temperament and, you know, you had a different response from your family and there was no support group, it'd be really weird.
Well, this is it. Like, thank goodness for the internet, because the first thing I searched on YouTube was fake plane Toronto, and then I saw Douglas Carter's footage. Said, hey, can you have a look at my videos and tell me if it's the same? And he goes, yeah. And then I go, where are you located? And he's directly north of me. I'm south by the lake. He's north by the highway. So he's looking, you know, directly south at me. So he's catching them going north. I'm catching them coming, you know, either way.
Yeah, a gentleman in the Bronx had reached out to me many, many years ago, because in the Bronx, you at certain points in subway platforms, you look down across Manhattan and you get a really good view of the aircraft coming in. But he said they're fake planes right over Manhattan, and I didn't believe him. And this was like 2005, 2006, and I have the footage somewhere. He gave it to me, but now I believe him.
Well, this is it. I actually am on a Facebook group for, you know, UFO researchers, and I can tell you yesterday, the moderator, the admin, he was actually quite, I wouldn't say belligerent, but, you know, basically had said that I'm insulting the intelligence of the group with my footage. They're all just airplanes, but could not respond to anything that I said regarding their behavior, the fact that not a single one is hitting on radar. So then it makes me, and I had the thought today, you know what, perhaps he's a disinformation agent, you know, and I know that sounds far-fetched, but, you know, I'm sure if the government or whoever the powers that be are aware of this activity, they will have these groups to discourage you from posting this stuff. And they will have people telling you, you know, get a life and stop filming airplanes. Why wouldn't they? Right. So, but I chose to stay in the group, even though he was being, you know, very discouraging. I thought, you know what? If I leave, it's only going to add, you know, to the perspective of maybe he's right. So I'm still in the group. There's another gentleman in the Netherlands that's in the same group. We were talking about it. And, you know, we both decided we'll stay in the group, but we're not going to share as much to get some ridicule. But then, you know, then, of course, I have a lot of support from the, you know, the original fake plane YouTubers. Thank God, because if I didn't, then I would have given up.
Well, Jen, what do you think these agents are for at this point? Yes, they're suppressing the information at some level, but it's still getting out. What do you think is going on?
I think that should our powers that be aware of this phenomenon, they definitely don't want to make that public knowledge. I mean, some people are absolutely terrified of the thought. A lot of people, I would say most people, are terrified of the thought of visitors coming here. If that is in fact the case with this phenomenon, which I believe it is, just I can't describe it. It's just a feeling that I have, and they seem to confirm it every time. The ones that are in control are the ones that control the information that gets out there, and you know, the less knowledge we have, the more obedient we are as a society, right?
Yes, on some level, that's true. Disclosure at this point, it's interesting that Canada is definitely in the lead on some level to help disclose this information, the UFO files that the government keeps. The United States, however, is very quiet on that, and there's always backdrop noises about it in the United States. Who knows why the United States isn't interested in full disclosure of the UFO alien world? That remains to be seen. Many people can guess that they've reverse engineered certain technology. That's highly suspected. And of course, the military working with these beings. And so if disclosure happens in the United States, that's a pretty big dam breaking and a lot of information flowing out. It implies free energy. It implies a real different look at the world, and one that may not be in the New World Order's plans.
Yes, I agree. Our former defense minister, Paul Hellier, I'm sure you've heard of him,
mm-hmm.
Is very adamant about the, you know, the disclosure of extraterrestrials being on this planet, living beneath this planet, the various bases around the world. He's very forthcoming and upfront about his experience in the military with, you know, extraterrestrials being here and more to come, apparently, according to him. So it's interesting. I mean, you know, it would be nice if we had more people like him wanting disclosure. And I think, you know, just as a society, just as people in the world, you know, if this is the case, then we should really embrace it and try to move forward in a positive way, right?
Indeed. Well, Jen, I want to thank you for being on In Other News. It's been a delight to have you on and discuss your experiences.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again on Dark Matter Radio.